You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox, from Pro Football Focus and BearsWire.com, part of the USA Today Sports Media Group. And I'm back once again to bring you some Bears talk to help get you through this real kind of light period of the NFL offseason. Today we're going to continue our early preview of the Chicago Bears 2018 schedule. We're moving on to week 6, and the Miami Dolphins. Be joined by Travis Wingfield from Locked On Dolphins, and we'll hit all the big changes that Miami has gone through this offseason. We'll talk Ryan Tannehill, maybe a tiny bit of Jay Cutler in there, and Josh Sitton joining their offensive line for a few different Bears ties, even beyond just the head coach, of course, Adam Gase. And we will kind of get a feel for where another team in transition is kind of sitting here entering the 2018 season, maybe with more negativity on the outside than there is in the city of Miami. I think the Dolphins are just a good case to kind of take a look at here for a team that, like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers we did before, a team that finished with a disappointing 2017 season. They, of course, had the quarterback, quote-unquote, excuse with Ryan Tannehill injured and Jay Cutler having to take over, but they had a lot of things go wrong, like we'll talk about here in a minute. And now they're entering 2018 with sort of different expectations. You know, they surprised in Adam Gase's first year a few years ago with a playoff push, and then it hasn't quite been exactly up to that level as, you know, last year. So, you know, this is a team that I think has a lot of new faces and a lot of moving parts all trying to come together here, and it's difficult for us, especially on the outside here, to try and get a feel for what exactly it's all going to look like in 2018 and how things are going to come together in terms of, you know, not only getting new pieces to fit into this system, but also how some of the returning pieces that maybe are unproven or have had inconsistent seasons in years past, how are they going to come together? Are they going to be able to take that next step? And how much do the Dolphins need from some of the young guys, particularly on the defensive side of the ball? There's a lot of question marks surrounding this team, and I really think they can kind of be a boom or bust type of team, despite a lot of negativity kind of surrounding Miami, at least from the national media standpoint. Kind of sounds familiar when you think about the Chicago Bears that way, but let's dive in to this Miami Dolphins roster here with our guest. Joining us now on Locked On Bears is Travis Wingfield. He is the host of Locked On Dolphins here on the Locked On Podcast Network, and you can follow him on Twitter at WingfieldNFL. Travis, thanks for joining the Locked On Bears podcast today. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for asking, and thanks for having me on. You know, this network is pretty cool how they get a chance to do all this stuff, so I really appreciate you reaching out to me.
Yeah, this Dolphins offseason, I think, has been an interesting one to watch from a distance. I mean, this was a team that had some real struggles last year, especially with the whole Ryan Tannehill injury and then the quarterback change sort of towards the last minute there, and then a lot of moving parts this offseason. So generally speaking, with this team, what is the tone of the offseason been like? What is kind of the identity of this team as it's kind of gone through these changes this summer and spring?
It depends on who you ask. If you talk to someone that, you know, covers the entire NFL and really has a blanket over each and every team, that they really don't, you know, have a good feel for each team, what they are, what they're doing in the offseason, you're going to get a lot of negativity around that team. Now, you talk to a lot of the guys that cover the team locally, a lot of guys that put a lot of time into the film study and the roster construction and everything that goes on, you have a lot more optimism. And like you mentioned, a lot of that has to do with the idea of Ryan Tannehill. And they're really, really, really building this team around Ryan Tannehill from based on what he did in 2016 compared to what we saw in Jay Cutler in 2017. So there's a bit of a discrepancy there, and I think it all kind of comes back to the quarterback. As you well know, being a Chicago Bears guy, everything goes back to the quarterback. So that's kind of where the perception lies, is how you feel about Ryan Tannehill.
Well, how do you feel about Ryan Tannehill? I mean, I think from what I can understand, a lot of Dolphins fans have somewhat of a love-hate relationship with him. And I know it's been a couple of years since his really big seasons of, you know, when he was breaking 4,000 yards. And, you know, then I think was 2016 a little bit of a down year. And then last year, of course, he was hurt. So where do you personally kind of sit fit with a confidence level in Ryan Tannehill?
You probably won't find anybody more confident in him than I am. I've been a fan of his coming out of college. You know, everyone talks about him being a converted wide receiver. That was not true. He was a quarterback that played receiver, comes into the league, has a bit of a learning curve, has an interesting offensive setup with Mike Sherman and Joe Philbin, who didn't really tailor his suits or tailor the offense to what he plays, to what he does well, excuse me. You know, he's a play action based quarterback, great athleticism, has a big time arm. He's accurate. He struggles a little bit with processing defenses at times and kind of post-snap rotation. But for the most part, he's been very accurate. He's been very durable until the knee injury. And he's just been there. And he's dealt with a lot of crap around him. Poor offensive line play, poor coaching, a turnover at wide receiver and running back every single year, it seems like. So I'm very high on him. A lot of guys that I trust, their film study evaluations are very high on him. So that's kind of where I get my background to the quarterback and Ryan Tannehill in particular. I'm excited about the team because of him, so count me in that group.
Well, if you want more on Ryan Tannehill and the state of the Dolphins offense as a whole, be sure you check out the Locked On Dolphins podcast, but also check out LockedOnDolphins.com because Travis does a lot of written work there and really covers the team as good as anyone that I can tell on that Miami Dolphins beat. It's all part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Well, I know, you know, they've struggled a little bit at times to build an offense around him, like you kind of talked about, especially on that offensive line, which I want to get to in a minute. But first, I want to touch on these Dolphins wide receivers because, you know, a lot of Bears fans were looking hard at Jarvis Landry this offseason because Chicago is one of the teams, you know, rumored in that trade conversation. Ultimately, he ends up with the Browns, and the Dolphins sign a wide receiver that a lot of people were connecting with the Bears with Albert Wilson. He ends up going there to kind of take that slot role, but then Danny Amendola joins him, and then still have Devontae Parker and Kenny Stills coming back. So when I look at this Dolphins wide receiver group, it felt like, especially last year and I guess in years past, that the passing game ran through Landry just in how many targets he got and how focal into the offense he was. So how do you think the passing game is going to look in 2018? I mean, are they looking for Devontae Parker to become more of a true number one guy on the outside?
You've really opened up Pandora's box talking about the wide receivers, because a guy that covers the team every day, does a podcast on him every day, I really can't separate it from 2 to 5. I know Kenny Stills is the undisputed number one receiver. He does so much for this offense in terms of not just making the big plays and being a very efficient downfield receiver, but he does so many different things as far as like clear out routes and just being an unselfish player. So he's clear cut number one, going to play 90% plus of all the snaps. You talked about Jarvis Landry not going to the Bears. You guys dodged a bullet in regards to that contract that he got, because I think that contract is worth double what he's actually worth as a player. You know, he comes out and he doesn't really beat one-on-one coverage, doesn't have top-level speed, can't get into the second gear into the open field. So he, you know, we force-fed him the football in a way that made the offense kind of bogged down a lot of times, a lot of slow starts because they were trying to find Jarvis Landry. He can't uncover. They can't complete a pass. It puts him into second and long, third and long, and the story's as old as time. But the wide receiver group as a whole, I like this group because Jakeem Grant, you look at what he's done in a very, very, very small sample size. He's been highly productive in that small sample size as far as a yards per target, yards per route ran type of stat. Albert Wilson, we'll see about him. He's supposed to be an up-and-comer from Kansas City, a guy that really couldn't find his way onto the field over the likes of Tyreek Hill or an option over Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce, all the guys they have there. But it sounds like he's a very smart, studious player, and that's what the Dolphins wanted to do. They wanted to get guys that could make their side adjustments right at the line of scrimmage, win the route early, and help Ryan Tannehill kind of mitigate some of the poor pass protection he's had in the past and get rid of the football. Because you look at his numbers when he is upright and the pocket's clean for 2.5 seconds, he's got one of the best passer ratings in the NFL. So that's kind of the idea and the thinking there.
Well, speaking of that offensive line, where's your kind of level of improvement there? Because they bring in Josh Sitton, another tie to the Chicago Bears here. They traded for Daniel Kilgore from the 49ers and kind of moved on from a couple older guys with Jermon Bushrod and Mike Pouncey, I don't think, is the center he once was. So, you know, you still have some of the same pieces on the outside with Tunsil moving back to left tackle and Juwan James coming back. I guess how much improvement are you expecting from the moves they made there up front?
I think a lot. I mean, you can probably tell me more about Josh Sitton than I can. I know you guys cut him for cap reasons and all that type of stuff and the injury history there. But you go from Mike Pouncey at center, and this last year was the first time that he played 16 games going back to like 2012. And the only reason he was able to do that was because they kept him out of practice pretty much every day. He practiced maybe once a week, and you could see that lack of continuity on the offensive line. They could not pick up a stunt, a twist, any type of exotic pressure to save their life. They were always confused. They led the league in pre-snap penalties, and I think a lot of that has to do with Mike Pouncey just not being there for the practices every single day. So now they have a starting offensive line of five guys that are going to be the starters opening day, provided an injury doesn't happen. And I think that continuity has a big part of it. The big hope is that Laremy Tunsil, the left tackle, that's where you really hope to see a big turnaround, because he had a bad year in 2017, and he's supposed to be this all-world elite class left tackle coming out of Ole Miss, potentially the first pick in the draft that year before all the quarterback trade-ups. He goes into guard in his rookie year, plays pretty well, kicks out the tackle in 2017, and it's not a good year for him. So that's the hope where the improvement comes, is Laremy Tunsil playing like he's supposed to be, or the player that he was supposed to be coming out of college, is really the big hope there.
Coming up next on the podcast, we'll get into this Miami Dolphins defense and kind of see how well they can keep their end of the bargain up with this Dolphins offense, and then we'll touch on the big picture expectations for the team as a whole, including whether or not a playoff run could be in order for 2018. Keep it here on your favorite Chicago Bears podcast, Locked On Bears. Well, we're talking Miami Dolphins here with Travis Wingfield from Locked On Dolphins. Travis, what about on the other side of the ball when you go to this defensive line? A lot of changes there too, with Ndamukong Suh let go for the mostly cap reasons there, but then they take on another big contract with Robert Quinn coming over from the Rams. They also traded for Akeem Spence, kind of an under-the-radar guy from the Detroit Lions. You know, is with Cameron Wake still there and now you're pairing him with Robert Quinn, is the idea that those two improve, or I guess, well, Wake's, you know, maintains his level, and Quinn adds an improvement on the edge to make up for the deficiency in the interior, or are you expecting generally the defensive line to take a step back because you just can't replace someone quite as good as Ndamukong Suh?
Yeah, you're not going to replace Suh. And, as much of a homer that I can get charged with being, I'm not going to go out there and say anything negatively about Ndamukong Suh, because he's a dominant player, an all-pro type of player, and he has been for a long time. But like you mentioned, that salary cap, the salary hit that he inflicted on this defense was just so astronomical. And this is a defense that wants to be built in the same vein of the Philadelphia Eagles, where you get a lead on offense and you unleash all these pass rushers on defense. Still have Charles Harris coming back in year two. He had a lot of pressures, just didn't convert a lot of those into sacks last year. So we hope for more from him in year number two. And they also want guys that can kick inside to play defensive tackle, kind of that nickel tackle in the pass rushing situations. A guy like William Hayes comes to mind there. So I don't think they're going to have necessarily like a net gain, because the idea is that they're going to be able to run through these two different lines, like hockey lines almost, of pass rushers that can play both inside and out. And replacing Ndamukong Suh, like I said, not going to happen. Robert Quinn, the idea there is that he's coming back to a defense where he really shined when he was in St. Louis. He goes back to the 3-4 last year with Wade Phillips, not quite the same. So you hope that he can kind of pick up that production. Sounds like he had a good spring camp. We'll see where he's at come August. But I think net gain, there's not going to be a whole lot there. You just hope the run defense gets better with William Hayes coming back, because he was very strong the first seven games of the year before he got hurt.
It seemed like last year, defensively, one of the big weaknesses on the Dolphins was this linebacker core. And I know Kiko Alonso's kind of struggled after a pretty strong start to his career back when he was drafted, I believe, with the Eagles. And they had Lawrence Timmons last year, who was a little bit older and maybe not one that's going to stand out in coverage that way. But, you know, now they have a younger linebacker group with Stephon Anthony in there and Raekwon McMillan, their second-round pick from a couple years ago. You know, are they getting to a point here where that learning curve might finally run out and these guys can start to play towards that next level? Or, you know, is Jerome Baker, the rookie, going to kind of jump in there and maybe set that timeline back a little bit more as far as development goes? Where do you think this younger linebacking group kind of stands right now?
I think if this group works out in terms of these guys being the makeup of the players they want at the position, it's not going to happen this year. And for the reasons you mentioned, with Kiko Alonso still being there, he's a progress stopper for me. He doesn't belong on an NFL field, in my opinion. He was very bad last year and cost the Dolphins a lot of yardage and a lot of points in that regard. Raekwon McMillan, the second-year player, you know, coming off of a rookie year where he was hurt on the very first play of the preseason, they've talked so highly of him that they're really starting to make Dolphins fans believe that he's our guy that's finally going to come in there and solidify this position, because as you mentioned, it's been so topsy-turvy for a long time now, and they're kind of doing a remake in terms of going from these bigger body guys, you know, size over speed, and they're making that shift to the modern-day NFL where it's speed over size. So you have Raekwon McMillan, who's a faster player. Jerome Baker is fantastic in coverage and as a blitzer. They signed, as you mentioned, Stephon Anthony was a trade from last year. I don't think he's a very good football player, just a pure athlete. And then you have guys like Terrence Garvin, who was signed from Seattle for his athleticism. They have Quentin Poling in the draft. Mike McCray was an undrafted free agent. So they're really making a shift towards getting faster and just overall better reactionary at linebacker, opposed to being these big guys that can take on, you know, inside guards or inside run plays and take on guards and shut down the running game. So athleticism over size is kind of the main vein there. And we'll see what happens. I'm not confident in this group. I think it takes at least a year or two for them to really kind of take hold.
So with, you know, you got these young guys on defense, a lot of changes, it seems, on both sides of the ball, new faces at a lot of key positions. Where does that leave the team as a whole in terms of expectations this year? You know, this was a team that was a wild card team 2 years ago with Adam Gase, and now last year with the quarterback injury and a lot went wrong. There's a lot of negativity on the outside. So where from the Dolphins' perspective, you know, I don't need a win-loss prediction, but is this a team that should be competing for a wild card spot in your opinion, or are they a little bit of a step below that, or where do you think they stand?
I think vehemently yes, competing for a wild card spot, just because they sacrificed some top level talent. Jarvis Landry and Ndamukong Suh, those guys are both gone. I talked to you about Landry. I don't think he's as good as some people made him out to be, especially after his Dolphins career. But in terms of going from those two guys being gone, they really spread the depth out in terms of having more guys that can rotate into the game. The secondary is a lot better. The defensive line has better pass rushers. The offensive line's better. The wide receiver crew is deeper, and they got their quarterback back, which is a big, big deal, going from Jay Cutler, who was just absolutely horrendous last year. We had two elimination games towards the end of the year, and he had, I think it was four picks and like five fumbles in those two games combined. So you go from Jay Cutler to Ryan Tannehill. The team's built around Ryan Tannehill. He's now in year three of Adam Gase's system for the first time in his career. This is his third year going into an offense. And what he was in 2016 was very efficient, very sharp with the football, very accurate, made some plays with his legs, was much better on third down than he's been in his career. And I just think they have the quarterback / play caller relationship there that they didn't have last year, that they haven't had for a long time. So I expect the passing game to be sharp from day one and to keep teams on their toes, and for this pass rush to be effective and to have a winning formula that way.
Do you think Adam Gase is coaching for his job this season? And I guess if he is, what does he have to do for a minimum to be able to keep this job?
I think the only way he would lose the job is if he had like a 2 or 3 win season. Other than that, Stephen Ross, the Dolphins owner, is in love with Adam Gase, absolutely enamored with him. And now last year kind of gave him – he had that free pass from year one after the 10-6 year. You know, the Dolphins weren't supposed to win that many games in 2016. They go out and they win 10. And, you know, last year you mentioned the things that went wrong. The hurricane that displaced the bye week. Lawrence Timmons goes AWOL week one. Chris Forster with the cocaine snorting video. And obviously, obviously Ryan Tannehill and Jay Cutler getting swapped out for one another. I think that he kind of got back to almost a year zero here. So I think the expectations, as low as they are, unless he just completely bottoms out, Ben McAdoo's it, he won't be gone unless that happens. So I think even just 5 or 6 wins, he's going to be totally safe.
Well, Travis, it's been some phenomenal Dolphins analysis from you there. I really appreciate you coming on today. Tell the listeners again where they can follow you on Twitter.
Yeah, it's at Wingfield NFL for my personal Twitter account. That's where I do pretty much everything. And then the show is at Locked On Fins for the show stuff.
All right. Well, Travis, thanks so much for coming on today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it too. We're going to have to do a Bears one with you on my side here in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks again to Travis Wingfield of Locked On Dolphins for joining us on the podcast today. If you enjoyed our conversation and want to keep up with all of our early Bears schedule previews, make sure you hit that subscribe button on the podcast, whatever podcast listening app you're using. We are on there. We're on the new Google Podcasts app. If you're an Android user, I like it a lot better than Google Play Music. I think the Google Podcast app is a nice slick thing. But of course, most of you, I'm sure, are on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and Stitcher, TuneIn, tons of different ways to listen to this show. We'll be back with Mark Schofield from Locked On Patriots to break down the Bears' Week 7 opponent, probably later this week. And I promise, I think I keep teasing at it, we're going to get some more straight-up Bears talk coming on your podcast feed here in the very near future. You got to bear with us here. This time of the offseason, there's just only so much Bear stuff, and I'm not going to sit here and try and tease out an over-talk too many Bears storylines here before we get too close to training camp, but I promise there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and we'll try and put at least a little bit of a Bears oasis here in this desert time of the offseason. And I do think these early schedule previews are a great way to just put some context to the offseason hype that, you know, not only the Bears have received, but every team kind of feels like they're, you know, this year is going to be their year. They're going to make a push for the playoffs, so they're going to make the push for the Super Bowl if they're already a playoff contender. And now we can kind of see, okay, you know, maybe people were originally thinking, okay, the Dolphins, that could be an easy win on the Bears schedule. But as Travis was kind of telling us, not so fast. You know, if Ryan Tannehill gets back to his game and Adam Gase kind of keeps him calm and taking care of the football, and those new wide receivers start to play better, and these young linebackers step up their game, and they added Minkah Fitzpatrick to the secondary. We didn't even talk about him. You know, there's reason to think this Miami Dolphins team could be pretty competitive coming out of the Bears bye week there in week 6. So I think we'll hear a much different story on the next episode looking at the New England Patriots, but we'll at least get a feel for maybe how far behind a Super Bowl contender the Chicago Bears stand in 2018. So as always, I hope you'll keep it locked on Locked On Bears as we continue to roll through this summer. The best way to make this offseason go faster is to bear down.